I hereby introduce to you, Mr. Michael Veazey.
Delighted to have back on a guest that we had, Brian Johnson, that was on just a few days ago from Sponsors Products Academy and PPC Scope. The reason we got Brian back on is because this is an area that, as I expected, produces quite a lot of questions. So we've got quite a few questions that have come up from listeners and viewers over the last few days in relation to sponsored products, aka Amazon ads. It goes by several names, but Amazon PPC is another one, but it's the same thing, which is trying to sell your Amazon products via advertising on Amazon, which is a hot topic. So welcome back, Brian. Thank you so much for coming.
Thanks for having me here. Thanks, sir.
It's a pleasure. I mean, I know that you're working super hard on the launch of your Sponsor Products Academy 2.0. So really appreciate you taking the time out from that, because I know you're super busy with that. So few questions, which range from the straightforward to the pretty complex. So hope you're filling up for some brain twisting in some cases, at least a prison on the brain. For you, it's probably
hit me with it, right?
For me, it's just what the hell does that mean? So,
if I don't know what I'm talking about, then that's my own fault.
Fine. No, I'm sure you do. But yeah, just in some cases, it gets very technical, which is why we need your help, right? It's one of those areas where after a certain point, you do not want to be drowning in spreadsheets on your own. We've all been there. I've been there. So you've just got to get the help. So anyway, the first question, why do keywords sometimes not get impressions, even though I'm putting a high bid and the auto campaign is showing that they're relevant? That's a very good question to start with, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. So it comes back to relevance, actually. So it is a case where Amazon has progressively, like on a month-to-month basis, they continue to tighten up what they consider to be relevant between the keyword that you're trying to advertise for the product that you're trying to sell to whatever the search terms that a potential buyer or a shopper is using in order to find your type of product. And so if Amazon looking at a pool of other advertisers, as well, in addition to your own, where it's saying, okay, which advertisements, I've got a limited number of advertisements I'm going to show, so I'm going to pick out the best of the best. And in order to pick out the best of the best, they have to make, you know, they have to make some cuts. They have to filter things out. And so what happens is the first thing they're going to look at, excuse me, pardon me, that cough, yeah, is to have look at relevance as far as how directly relevant is the phrase that you're bidding on, that keyword phrase you're bidding on, directly relevant, the search term the shopper is using. Now, Amazon is also using additional information about the shopper's behavior, what they searched prior to what they just searched for, the other products they've also bought. So they're working off a lot more information than we have. But they're going to make some decisions as far as some cuts that they're going to make. And whether your ad shows or not shows, it's basically a pass-fail as far as how the sponsored algorithm works, is they'll either say, it's like, okay, are you qualified to show your ad? And if so, then is this particular keyword you're trying to bid on directly relevant to what this particular shopper is looking for? Oftentimes, the match that they don't find is with the front end content of your product listing. So if you're trying to get advertising running for a keyword, it's getting zero impressions. Is that keyword phrase in your front end content? That actually became even more important just in the last week, because Amazon started messing around with the back-end search term indexing, and it's really thrown off a lot of sellers. But it comes back to what I continue to teach is you've got to figure out who your target audience is, and you've got to set up your product listing as well as your advertising, but your product listing for sure, to target the keyword phrases that you've learned from your advertising is actually going to convert to a sale. That's how Amazon's going to show it. Now, there's certainly other explanations or other exceptions that can come up. That has to do usually with that keyword is running, or a similar keyword is running in a different campaign, and you're just not seeing the traffic or the ad impressions going to this other location. But most of the time, it's because it's just not finding a relevance match with the content that you have in the front end of the product listing.
Great. So that makes a lot of sense. It's the old message to market match thing that Amazon's trying to fine tune. And that ties in with another question I've got here, which is, if I'm not appearing for a search term, how much is it about the PPC setup, so the Amazon ad setup, and how much is it about the product listing? So you're implying that really the product listing has to have something very important in that mix.
Yeah, I mean, if it's a case of the question is, does your ad show at all, or does it just show lower? You know, is your ad showing up on page 3, page 5? That is different than if your ad doesn't show up at all. If your ad doesn't show up at all, you've been filtered out completely because either your ad doesn't qualify or Amazon says there's no relevance match for this particular keyword and what the shopper is searching for. That's usually a content mismatch, category mismatch, something with your product that Amazon doesn't like. And so they're rejecting you before you even get a chance to even be ranked in with the other competing listings. If your ad is just showing up low, page 3, page 5, page 20, whatever, then you've made it, you've passed the relevance filter, but the quality score, we'll call it a quality score. Amazon doesn't actually call it that, but we'll call it a quality score of your campaign that the keyword is running in is too low to be competitive. Now, you can compensate that by bidding higher. That's often what seller support will tell you. They say, oh, just bid higher. The reason they say bid higher is, first of all, they don't understand how the algorithm works. They're not trained to do so. Two is it does actually work to an extent because it compensates for a poor campaign quality score. And there's ways that we raise up a campaign quality score, but it's basically saying that this campaign is not running at its highest performance that allows it to compete well with all the other advertisers that are trying to do the same thing as you are.
Okay. Very interesting. So really the so-called quality score, well, that's the kind of thing they're taking over from Google AdWords sort of territory then. So Is it all about the listing matching up to the keywords then essentially, or is there something else that we need to be aware of in how we structure the PPC campaigns or how we approach it in general?
Well, so the way that there's best practices that I have as far as setting up campaigns in order to have the best analytics as well as the best control when it comes to optimizing those campaigns. So typically, you know, the short version is segment to everything, segment to the SKU, segment to the match type. So you've got separate ad groups for everything.
Okay, so segment.
That's an overstatement. Yeah, and I'm kind of that's kind of like the, you know, kind of brushing over the topic in without any detail on that yet. But when it comes to the relevance, getting filtered out, for instance, yeah, primarily it has to do with, is your product in a subcategory that is directly relevant to that particular search term, and is there a match between the keyword, your keyword phrase that you're bidding on, the search term phrase that the shopper is looking for, and the keyword phrase that is in your content, your front end content.
Okay.
Hopefully you heard that thing going on there.
Yeah, that's nice. So there's three.
Yeah, okay. It's no longer.
I was just going to summarize what you were saying just to reflect it back, because I think it's a very important and nice, clear-minded way of putting it. Sure. A terrible habit I have. So the shoppers have put in their search term that needs to match up to the keyword we have in our advertising, which needs to match up to the keyword in the listing. And if we get those three aligned, then we're going to score well in terms of impressions. Is that a summary of what you would say?
That is correct. Yeah. Great. And that obviously that sometimes begs the question, is like, okay, the keyword phrase in our listing, are we referring to front end content, title, bullets, description, or are we talking about back end content, which also includes title? So title and back end search term fields. Primarily organic focuses now on the back end search term field and the title. Advertising focuses on the title, the bullets, and the description. So the title is the key overlap there. So in most cases, 95% of the case, having that keyword phrase in your front end content will allow your ad to show.
Right. Great. That's a nice clear answer. Great. Thank you. And I appreciate that. We're asking you to simplify grossly something which requires a whole course to teach properly.
I've got a 15-20 hour course on everything related to advertising on Amazon. So yeah, definitely hitting the really high points.
Yeah. Okay. So this is a great simplification. Of course, if people want to get into the great detail, then they're going to have to sign up for sponsored Products Academy. For some people, that is a no-brainer. For some people who's just starting out, that would probably be overkill. But it's good to have the simplified version. So somebody else is saying, now they're complaining. Somebody has a bit of a Google AdWords background, or at least comes from what they think of as Google AdWords background. They're saying, if I run a campaign on Google as a learning campaign, which I know is a philosophy you have as well with AdWords in Amazon ads, I should say, then should I have They're talking about ad groups with a single match goal. So the goal is to refine it all. And they're saying, does a different keyword perform differently in a campaign on its own or with other keywords? So is there a difference between splitting out keywords into their own campaign, which is not, yeah. I know is something that a lot of people talk about?
Yeah, I mean, as far as like splitting out a keyword into its own campaign, there are specific uses for that within the Amazon world. I know how that's as far as how they set that up as far as AdWords, Google AdWords strategy, which is a lot more complex than what you're going to do on sponsor products, for instance. But in sponsor products, it gives you, I would set that up for a single keyword phrase in its own campaign if I'm going to use or I'm going to test something like Bid Plus, for instance. I don't do a whole portfolio of keywords in a campaign and try to run Bid Plus because I want to control what Amazon is actually using for their Bid Plus, which is the one where they're trying to keep you in the number one position by overspending on your advertising. You know, kind of a self-serving approach there. There are situations where you might have it set up so that you have a very high performing, very high click-through rate, high converting keyword that is segmented into its own campaign strictly just to protect that keyword phrase and to maintain a very high, you know, the highest possible click-through rate. That's usually only necessary if you are in extraordinarily competitive advertising space and you need to go that extra step by isolating it in order just to compete with others who are also going after that particular keyword. Most sellers don't need to go to that extent. Most sellers can consolidate into a single, he called it learning, we call it research. So a single research campaign, for instance, and then we break our ad groups into, we basically separate every single SKU and every SKU's match type into their own separate ad groups so that we can test all of those.
Okay, so the idea of splitting out a single keyword then is probably, in short, if I understand, only necessary when you're in a hyper-competitive space or that keyword is rather hyper-competitive.
That's not a standard approach. I'd use it more for advanced method, and that's usually based on need.
Okay, interesting. So it's not like a standard thing. That's very interesting to know. So that is quite different from some of the Google AdWords peel and stick sort of traditions that I've heard about, if I've understood what I was hearing.
Now, AMS...
Yeah.
I was going to say that Amazon Marketing Services, AMS, that is closer to what you would do with AdWords, where you've got a lot of campaigns compared to sponsored products. Different animals, you have to treat them different.
Okay, interesting. So for those few people who are on AMS, because I know it's very, you know, not widely used yet, you would treat it more like Google AdWords in short, yeah. Would you?
Yeah, I mean, the analytics on AMS is poor. To state it lightly, but generally what you have to do is you're doing a lot more title and ad A/B testing on AMS, and so you have to end up creating a lot more campaigns in order to do that kind of testing, which you would typically do with AdWords. That's not something that's necessary on sponsor because it's taking your native your product listing title, and you don't have much options there.
Yeah, in a way, one of the blessings I have to say is, well, if somebody comes from a Google AdWords background, they probably think of it as a curse. But one of the blessings for me and those who are as simple-minded as I am is that you don't have that many options yet with Amazon ads, which makes life a lot simpler, I have to say.
Yeah, true.
So now a couple of interesting questions, which is this is a little bit left field. And I don't know if it's your thing or not, but somebody was talking about different languages. Now, obviously, you know, I'm expecting you to be an expert in languages you don't speak, but what about running, for example, not Google AdWords, I'm getting off topic, Amazon ads on German in Germany is one thing, but what about running them in Spanish in the US market, where a lot of people obviously will be Spanish speakers who live in the US? And what about running the similar thing as Polish speakers in the German Amazon, which obviously caters for... Right. In Poland, which is next door geographically to Germany, for those who aren't familiar with European geography. So, what about that? Is that something you could speak to at all? And if so, what are the best practices in that?
Yeah, I would say that probably the most common, this kind of falls into misspellings as well. It's one of those things where it's worth testing both different translations of your target keyword phrase, your target words, as well as misspellings. The result on those is a very small fraction. However, if that fraction gives you a competitive edge over some other seller, then it's certainly worth testing. Now, typically we would do that by adding in typically in the front end content as well as the back end content. With these recent changes, we're going to have to see as far as exactly what Amazon's going to allow us to do with last week's changes on the back end search term fields. It's very new. We're still testing out to see, okay, what can we do now with those? But I would say it's worth testing, especially if you're in a market, especially if you have a product that has any kind of cultural significance or cultural differentiation that might appeal to one audience over the other. Like you said, you know, like if you take your primary language and then also test out some of the top words for the most relevant for your product for the secondary language for the country, that's worth testing. I don't expect it to have, you know, phenomenal results. It's not like you're going to triple your sales or anything. You might see like a 5-10% bump, but that 5-10% bump may be significant if you're moving a lot of product. You know, so it's one of those things where maybe it'll develop over time and become significant. So it's worth doing. I certainly wouldn't ignore it.
Interesting. Okay. Yeah. And I think that the whole situation in the States is a bit different because obviously it's one unified Amazon marketplace and it's mostly English speaking, although you've got Spanish as a significant minority language, whereas in the German situation, what you've got is an Amazon marketplace in Germany, but which serves multiple separate countries with completely separate linguistic groups, really. So that's exactly. Yeah, it's a bit of a complex one. As you said, it's probably best to not over engineer that one and just kind of treat it as a little add on.
I would say pick five translations and test it and see if it does anything for you.
Yeah, you're right. Testing is always
a firm believer of testing.
Yeah, it all comes down to that, doesn't it? So now another question, which is another very common question that I've come across a lot in the forums and in masterminds of which I've been a member, all ones I'm running, everyone's talking about this thing. The question of long tail search terms, do they get you ranking for short tail search terms? So for example, if I advertise on the word, what's the example? Somebody's given blue plastic widget, then do I get ranked for plastic widget and blue plastic?
Yeah, I mean, so you're going to have some of that because it's going to look at the individual words. It's going to look at word pairs as far as short phrases as well as the long tail phrases. So you're going to have a little bit of that. Honestly, we see more of an impact based off of what content or what phrase that you have in the title of the listing. That typically is going to drive more of the ranking push than simply just what you're advertising upon. So it really kind of comes down to what is in your title. Ideally, what's in the first 50-60 characters of your title is primarily going to drive. Now, if you are advertising on the same content, the same phrase that's in your title, and that converts, that reinforces that match to the title. So I would say it's less about that. Advertising is certainly going to support that. It's going to have additional units sold that's going to support that that relative conversion rate. But again, it's going to primarily focus. I mean, the title. There's other. I mean, other content fields too, of course, that are going to contribute to it. But you know, the title, because even like the canonical URL, you know, for those who are familiar with that, that's also going to have an impact as well. But the title, I think, is absolutely going to be the biggest driver when it comes to different variations, both single words, short phrases, as well as long-term phrases.
Okay, so we're not going to be able to do anything getting clever with the advertising side if our title is just not really going to be relevant to those keywords.
I mean, the philosophy behind that kind of comes from an SEO standpoint where, you know, for as far as search engine optimization, where the traditional way to rank a website higher in the Google search results is to traditionally drive named backlinks, basically hyperlinks that have that long tail phrase as an example. That's not near as effective as it once was, of course, but that's kind of where that strategy came from, is if I continue to point the fingers at all these different related phrases, then they're all going to rise to the top. yes, there is going to be a little bit of a push on all of those. And that's one of the reasons why we have a lot of similar phrases that float to the top, you know, to page one, page two, that are related and that contribute to the total amount of sales that we see ourselves or a competitor selling in a given month. It's never just on one keyword, of course. It's usually, you know, probably more like 50 keywords that a product is actually selling upon that is accumulating to that total. The trick is to find out what those 50 are and try to go after them yourself.
Okay.
You know, yeah. So there's tools for that.
You need to use the tools. Okay. Well, I was going to ask you about that. Now, somebody else was asking, that ties in neatly, if I can find the question. Somebody was just asking about what tools are essential for this. So that really comes in very neatly. What tools do you use and would you advocate others using?
So there's a couple of things. There's three primary tools that I'm using when it comes to, I use probably, you know, 10 different tools overall at different times. Just if I need to be, it depends on how aggressive I need to get with a product. You know, sometimes the more competitive, the more aggressive I get, the more detailed, the more keyword research I might get. But really the ones, if I had to pick just a couple, of course I'd pick a PPC analytics software that's going to allow me to do a lot better than what I can do in Campaign Manager or even a pivot table. I mean, those, you know, if somebody's still using pivot tables, then you're kind of missing the boat on what technology is available now. Obviously, I developed, you know, started 2 years ago, I had the PPC Scope software developed, and we continue to innovate on that one. It still continues to be the leading Amazon PPC analytics and automation tool. Because that gives me insight into trends, into comparative changes between, you know, what happened before or after an event, or some kind of change, you know, positive or negative change, so I can reverse engineer what happened. It also allows me to quickly identify what search terms, which keywords are working or not working, and what I need to do about that, how to adjust those. So certainly analytics in order to, so I stay on top of my campaigns. When it comes to keyword research, I'm typically going to use something like a Merchant Words Global. That especially works for international markets now. That usually gives me a good set of keywords. That's beyond even like, say, what Amazon's going to have as far as their own suggested keywords. Excuse me. The big one that I probably use, and I certainly, promote, is and I don't have an affiliate agreement with him. I really should. That's James Harbaugh's Keyword Inspector, because he does so much data collection on listings that show up on page one. I can go in and I can see, okay, what keywords are a competitor advertising for, and what are they on page one for? In some cases, even page two, depends on how deep it goes. But I'll also do that on my own. You know, if I'm getting a ton of, because you can reverse engineer your own listing, because a lot of times as sellers, what is selling, you know, we're like, well, hey, I'm on page one for this particular keyword phrase and I'm just killing it. And then all of a sudden, you know, they drop down to page two or page three for that particular keyword and their sales don't change. And they're like, wait a minute, where are my sales coming from? It wasn't from that keyword. And that's exactly why we use the PPC in order to discover, okay, which keywords are actually converting for our product. But we get a start by that. We have to, you know, start out by saying, you know, telling Amazon which keywords to advertise our product for. And we do that by reverse engineering our competitors or even our own listing, you know, for a full set of keywords.
So you would advocate using Keyword Inspector, for example, on your own listing as well as your competitor's listing. Is that right?
Definitely. Absolutely. Yeah. In fact, I do that for comparative reasons too, is like every quarter or anytime I do any kind of a major change. Like, for instance, if I'm going to change out my content, I teach a concept called product positioning, which is basically taking what you learn from the advertising, putting it into your product listing in order to organically position or rank your product. And what I typically do is I like to take a snapshot before and after of my own listing through Keyword Inspector so that I can see, okay, here are the 500 keywords perhaps that I'm on page one for now. And then, you know, I do that a couple weeks before I change, right before I change. And then maybe a couple weeks or, you know, 2 to 4 weeks afterwards, I go back and check to see, okay, what changed? As a result of me changing all this, did I actually make an improvement? Now, a common argument about any kind of research tool is, how many of the keywords are actually directly relevant to the product. Some of them are way off. The way I look at it is like, look, every single product is going to rank for a bunch of junk, okay? A bunch of keywords that aren't converting. It's your job to run the advertising to check to see which of those keywords, even if you get five keywords out of 5,000 that convert to a sale, now you know which keywords actually convert for your product. So it's our job as advertisers to filter down the bulk information down into specifically what works for our own product.
Okay, interesting. So when you use keyword inspection for your own product, what's the exact approach? I mean, obviously you've talked about the before and after changes. That makes absolute sense that before you change something, you take a baseline to see
exactly
stuff that is better. But what would you actually, what's the sort of process? Can you talk us through a little bit more nuts and bolts? I mean, I know we can't do everything today or here, but.
Sure. So for anybody who's used or has an account with Keyword Inspector, there's a reverse ASIN report. So Keyword Inspector has a lot of different reports and tools and stuff available. But for this purpose, we use the reverse ASIN, and I just use the simple report. It's one credit. It doesn't give me all this other information that is available through Keyword Inspector. You're welcome to go after those. But one of the things I like to do is if I'm looking at my own listing, I'm going to run it on my own set of ASINs. You know, if I've got, 10, 15 variations of a product, then I want to know on every single one of them. I'll run a simple reverse ASIN report on every single one of them. I hear people say, it's like, oh, isn't that really expensive? You know what? It's an investment to me. I'm willing to spend the money, however much it costs, in order to have that kind of intelligence about my own product, let alone my competitors. I'm okay with, I don't just go out and say, if I'm going to analyze a competitor, for instance, I don't just look at the top one. I look at the entire full first front page, and I look for the commonalities among everybody who's on page one that I admire. This is obviously ignoring anybody who's using a black hat, you know, technique in order to be up there with, you know, five reviews and they're on page one, you know, come on. I wouldn't admire that particular listing, but I would take all the ones that I admire that I know are my direct competitors that I'm trying to emulate. I'll run a reverse ASIN simple report in Keyword Inspector for every single one of those. And I will compare to find out, okay, what are the commonalities of the keywords across everybody who's on page one? And I'm going to test those in my advertising to see which ones of those keywords actually convert for my product. That way, I've got a better pulse of, look, if I admire and if I want to emulate and I want to be among this top set, then I better make sure that my product actually can convert for those keywords that they're converting for.
Okay, so basically, you're taking the Keyword Inspector data and then you're presumably using that to create your own listing to some degree, at least that's most of us seem to do, but also you're then looking at your PPC data and you're going, you're then refining that down and just making sure you're only really focusing for yourself and your own listing on the relevant keywords. So you're using Keywords Inspector as a starting point and then you're using PPC as your kind of end point. Is that about right?
Yeah. So like, for instance, if I'm looking at, let's say I'm looking at 10 different competitors and I'm looking at just where the keywords that are common, there's going to be certain keywords that are going to come up, of course, that you could ignore. You know, like let's say a competitor ranks on page one for money back guarantee. It's got no, it has no conversion relevance, right? No conversion value. However, you could probably identify 100, 200, maybe even just, 40 or 50 keywords that most of the page one competitors rank on page one for. And it's like, okay, when we start seeing that kind of a pattern, you want to run an advertising campaign to test those keywords to see which of those actually draw in traffic. If your advertisement is up among all of them and you're not able to bring in that same kind of shopper traffic into your own listing, let alone convert it, then maybe you need to make some adjustments to your product listing in order to be more in alignment with those listings that you admire. Ultimately, I'm going to look at the advertising data and I'm going to say, what is converting, what is bringing in the audience very well, you know, high click-through rate to my ads for my product, and then which ones actually convert high conversion rate for my product. That's where I'm going to focus my attention. Even if it's a smaller niche than what I was originally going after, if it guarantees that I can get up to a page one, page two organic position, because for keywords that I absolutely know convert because I've tested my advertising, then, you know, I might not be getting the 100 units a day that some of these top sellers that I admire are getting, but I've locked in and I'm getting 10, 15, 20 units a day compared to the zero I was getting before. You know, take the win and then work on, okay, what's the next step up?
Makes total sense. What I really like about your approach is that you're willing to spend the money and the effort up front to analyze not just one or two or even three products, which I have generally done with Keyword and Inspector, but once you analyze 10 listings or so with Keyword Inspector, that you see the commonalities, the patterns that repeat, and that can enable you to zero in on a smaller, more relevant group of keywords. I really like it. It makes total sense, but I've never really heard that articulated anywhere before. So that's really powerful. That's really powerful. I like it. Thank you.
Good.
We better have a look at some of these next list questions here. Otherwise, my listeners will be telling me off for not asking the questions. So we've talked about Spanish in the USA and Polish in Germany. Talk about specialist. Now this one sort of relates to what you were just saying about, you know, improving your organic ranking on keywords that are relevant. This question is basically, can I use PPC to increase the rank of my products if I buy via a PPC advert? So am I getting rank boost for the search terms or the keywords? And that's quite a subtle question, actually, because obviously we all tend to muddle the two together. But search terms, I guess, is what the customer types into the search bar. And keywords is what we've put into our advertising campaigns, right? So
So keywords are what we're connecting to. So two things on that. One is you figure it's the search. Amazon's paying attention to what the shopper's doing. The shopper is using a search term. We're telling Amazon, our communication is with Amazon as far as we want you to show my ad for this particular keyword phrase. Amazon is the one who's making the match between what the shopper's doing and what we're telling Amazon to do. And so you figure Amazon's primary focus is going to be like, what is the sales funnel with the shopper? So it's the shopper's search term that's going to have a higher value than what we're telling Amazon to show our ad for. So, but this also ties into, okay, back to what we said before is now what keyword phrase do we also have in our title? Because Amazon's also paying attention to that as well, because they're going to have, it's never just one thing that they're looking at. They're looking at multiple things. What is the search term that the shopper used? Which product did they actually purchase? And what was the title content? Not exclusively, but inclusive of other fields as well, but certainly heavily weighted, is what was the content in that in the title of the product they actually purchased that resulted in a sale. Now, there's an overconfidence by a lot of sellers that simply turning on advertisement will get them some magic boost in their ranking. And my argument is yeah, so you're going to have some, as long as it matches up with the content that Amazon is seeing, like say in your title, for instance, it's going to have a boost there. The biggest effect is primarily going to be the number of units that you're contributing as a result of the advertising and how much of an effect does that have for that particular keyword among your competitors. It's all relative. Okay, so if you sell five more, and you move up one position because your next competitor is only selling four more, you know, that's how you move up, is by selling more units.
Okay. So basically you're going to get ranked for more for the search term than for the keyword then. And basically if you make sales via a certain search term, then only if you make the sales, that's going to give you that ranking boost. So that,
I mean
that's kind of an indirect effect.
Yeah, it's an oversimplification of it, but you know, I've had some people who have argued that it does contribute to other search terms, which I certainly agree. But again, it's all relative to what the competitors are also doing for that one, and that's the kind of information that Amazon just does not share with us. So we're guessing at that point. There's a lot of speculation when it comes to what actually results in the conversion. My observation, obviously my observations are limited. It's only across a couple of thousand accounts that I work with. So I'd like to think that I've got a pretty good view, but it's not, it's a sample in comparison to everybody that's advertising. And that is what we see consistently. And I've also had conversations with other solution providers that provide launch services, and we have similar philosophies based off of our observations of what has worked across thousands of, you know, accounts or efforts.
Yeah, well, that's certainly a reason why people should consider the Sponsored Products Academy, because obviously you do have that really strong background that you can only get by seeing thousands of accounts. I mean, all the rest of us see our own, and maybe we get to see, if you're a member of a mastermind, another 10 yeah. or, you know, well, we get the edited highlights, right? I mean, entrepreneurs always like to big up that life is going better than it is. So you actually see the real data. I think that's another point that people need to bear in mind. Whatever you're getting shared on Facebook or even in an intimate mastermind, it's going to be a filtered version of what's actually happening, right?
It is, yeah. Sometimes it's an ideal version. Yeah,
exactly. And the thing is, you actually see the real data from their PPC accounts. So that's certainly got to be a lot better basis for making decisions. Now, a couple of other questions around that. Some keywords have a decent ACoS, but the actual conversion rate is bad. So is that bringing down the overall conversion rate? And are they basically, you know, hurting the seller? Should I just turn them off? Is that what this person asked?
Okay, so as far as conversion rate, let me see if I can answer one of those pieces there. So as far as conversion rate's effect on advertising goes, as far as the algorithm, the conversion rate only comes in as a tiebreaker. So most of the time, that's never even going to be considered. It's primarily going to be based off of the click-through rate performance of the campaign and the bid of the keyword relative to competitors. So it's a combination, there's a multiplier factor with the algorithm. Now, if everything happens to be equal, then Amazon will look at the conversion rate of that particular keyword or that particular product in order to break the tie. Whether or not it's going to show your ad first place or second place when all other things are equal. So while I don't want to say that conversion rate's not considered, it's just considered a lot less when it comes to advertising. It's a huge factor when it comes to organic positioning, but it doesn't have the same weight when it comes to sponsored algorithm.
Yeah, and I remember you saying that from the original podcast interviews we did, and I think that really stuck with me because that's such a profound insight that we all got to bear in mind. But so I suppose the precise answer to this question then is going to be, really, if their conversion rate's crap but the ACoS is good, then it's probably not going to hurt them very much by the sound of what you've just said. Is that right?
No, I mean, exactly. I mean, you could have it so that you, so you figure the ACoS is going to be like, how much did you actually spend? You know, what was your average cost per click compared to your, you know, at the actual gross sales that you had on that. That's where it's going to control your ACoS. We're assuming, of course, that you've taken the time. If anybody hasn't taken the time to figure out what their break-even ACoS is, shame on you.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that's just, I mean, like, you shouldn't be in business if you don't know your numbers. And part of that is knowing what your break-even cost of sourcing and selling your product on Amazon before advertising, so that you know that if you are averaging 50% ACoS, for instance, that are you making money or are you losing money? If you don't know that, you better figure it out. but ultimately, there's a number of things when it comes to profitability, and that takes into consideration, of course, both your conversion rate as well as your cost of advertising. And we get down to the point now, I mean, especially with using like the PPC scope software, you know, we get down to where we're calculating the break even bid per keyword. You know, where that's where we have to be in 2017. We can't just say, oh, you know, I'm just going to do negative some bad performing search terms. It's like, that used to work, but you got to step it up this year.
You got to really know your numbers. Yeah, I have to say that it always surprises me. I want to work with men, you know, some coaching clients one-to-one, and with some, you know, some people in the mastermind as well, that sometimes people just don't know the most basic numbers. I mean, you know, somebody was asking a question the other day to the group, and I said, okay, great. So what are your numbers? What's your break-even point? What's your cost of goods sold? Blah, blah, blah. Usual questions. And they had no idea. So it is quite frightening. Some people are driving blind. So I agree. ACoS is, guys, is not the only way to run your business. That's just, you've got to know what your break-even point is. I would totally second that. Now, a couple of last questions, and then we must let you go and do whatever you're doing for your sponsors at Products Academy launch, because I know you guys are doing your
record more training. Yep.
So, you must be exhausted. So I, you know, this is great that you're giving your last ounce of energy to us guys here. We're honored. So a couple of other questions now. One person's asking, again, it's a quite sort of sort of Google AdWordsy background questions, I think, from this person by the looks of it. But
that's normal.
How is the spend divided over the day? And it's an interesting one. I've heard about this strategy sort of approach from a couple of friends of mine in masterminds over the last few months. How's the spend divided over the day? For example, if you set a budget of $240, does Amazon just aim to spend $10 per hour, or does it all go at once? And yeah, that's the first part of the question. So let's deal with that first.
Yeah, Amazon doesn't have the throttling and some of the tighter controls that AdWords really has. A lot of cool features that Amazon has not put into place yet. I do expect over the next couple of years, Amazon will put that in place. Here's one of the things that Amazon has some limitations on. Amazon does not have the platform, the infrastructure to support active real-time data like AdWords does. AdWords has the capability of being able to throttle budgets throughout the day, as well as you have controlled day parting where you're targeting specific times of the day that your ads are running, for instance. Amazon can't support that because they're not working on real-time data. They are working on developing that. That is something that they've stated to our team in our conversations with Amazon directly. They've stated that is something they're working on this year in order to be able to support things like day parting and budget throttling, as well as some other, as far as being able to split ads, desktop, mobile, some of those other things that we take for granted with AdWords and Facebook and some of these others that are simply just not available yet in Amazon. So there's some techniques that I kind of more specialized. Again, it's more of an advanced technique, what I call waterfall campaigns. And that has to do with running campaigns that intentionally run out of budget, but then they drop down to the next campaign. And so throughout the day, you're kind of burning this, burning campaign one, and then it runs out of budget. And then campaign two runs out of budget. Campaign three runs out of budget. And you're hitting at different bid ranges. And so it's just kind of tearing down. And each one of those has a different budget that you can control. It doesn't really give you specifics as far as the time of day that it's running, but it allows you to do your own, you call it like a faux or it's kind of like you're making up your own throttling schedule throughout the day by breaking it up into multiple campaigns. It's a very specialized technique. I don't recommend for 98% of advertisers. But if you have a specific, unique, competitive reason to do that, then there's ways to get around that. There's ways to create that effect.
Interesting. Well, that sounds very sophisticated stuff. I mean, that the other part of that question was, is it worth getting a VA to turn the campaign on and off? So, for example, to get somebody to turn them off if you're advertising on Amazon.com, to get them to turn it on at 6 p.m. at night when your competition's running out of budget and people are just getting back from work. If you put it on at 6 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, that gives you a lot of evening in which people are buying stuff. Is that something that's worth doing, or is that kind of overcomplicated?
Well, that's something we looked at actually with the software is to do that. It's not one of those features that we've implemented simply because not enough people actually use that technique or even want to use that technique. Some people have observed that maybe their sales are really poor over the weekends and then they're really strong during the weekdays, and so they want to turn them off during certain times of the day or certain days of the week, which I can understand testing. I don't know that the information, given the 4 to 72 hour data delay that Amazon has with their advertising data is going to really give you very good accuracy to be able to read that. But if you find in your specific situation where that absolutely makes a difference and you want to hire a VA to turn that thing on and off, or hire some programmer to write a script even submit to our team as a feature and say, hey, I'm interested in that feature. I mean, let us know. We certainly have a capable team in order to build that kind of feature out. I think it's more than one of those rare cases where so few people would actually have a need to actually implement that it hasn't been a priority among the solution providers.
Yeah, that's fair enough. Well, the thing is, if it hasn't been a solution for people as advanced as you, then it probably is a little bit too niche for most of us to actually make an impact on the business, right? Really move the needle. So I think that's, yeah, it's interesting to hear. I mean, that Amazon's beginning to go in the same direction as Google, and it's going to be something to watch. But for the moment, I think that's probably quite enough mind-blowing detail. I mean, thank you very much for taking the time out. As I said, I know you're super busy with the Sponsored Products Academy launch, which I'm also involved in. So if people want to check that out and you want to get the full detail of exactly the stuff that is going to work in a step-by-step structured way, then you're going to need to check that out. Just look at the links on this page, or you can go to amazingfba.com/BrianJ, where you can get a cheat sheet that Brian's created for us to really help simplify the whole business of structuring AdWords Amazon ads in a structured way. So just get yourself
out of there. That's a good cheat. It's been very popular.
Yeah, it seems to be. Yeah, I've had a lot of people go and download that in the last few days since your last interview with us. Brian, any parting words about the Sponsored Products Academy? We've touched on so many different places today. For the people who want to go further with this, and obviously for some people, they just need to stay on the surface level. But for people who want to take this and deep dive into this, just in a nutshell, what is it that they're going to get the Sponsored Products Academy that's going to really help them to actually turn their business around in terms of their PPC side of things?
Sure. So I think probably the biggest difference with Sponsored Products Academy, of course, is that we go into sufficient detail. We do start out with the foundational concepts for those who are not that well trained in sponsored products, those who are getting, you know, even beginning level. We cater to that at the beginning, but then we also move through intermediate and advanced level tactics. The new Sponsored Products Academy, this is a 2.0. So this is, we launched the original one over a year ago. This is the second version. So it's all new for 2017. And it's structured, it has a much better flow and structure to it. So that actually walks you through, here's the process, here's the best practices. Getting the campaigns structured correctly is very important, so that not only can you report and actually know, you know, where your audience is coming from and what the terminology they're using and to which individual product variation that you're selling is actually getting the biggest bang for the buck, but then actually developing that, increasing the audience exposure of your products through the ads, as well as applying all that knowledge from your advertising into positioning the product organically, which ultimately is going to have a bigger payoff than just the advertising by itself. And then we shift over to consolidate all the advertising to make those profitable. So then you've got a higher ranked organic product listing, and you've got a profitable campaign. So it becomes that win-win that, you know, we actually have. It's just not this, you know, never ending, oh, just turn on and spend all this money in advertising. No. There's specific advertising objectives that I teach and that we go after. Plus we have some additional, we've got Dana Derricks, Brian Bowman, Brian Burt, I'm missing somebody else, but they also are contributing with, you know, going beyond sponsored products, services, copywriting, external, lead generation or influencer marketing, as far as external traffic driving for product sales. It's this huge package, you know, training course and everything. It's big. I'm not going to lie. It's an investment for sure. But anybody who's gone through it before, they can attest that it's like, wow, I didn't realize I needed this, but I really did. So that's why we go to that scale, to make sure it's done correctly and very thorough.
Yeah. Well, I like the thinking, because I think anyone who's serious about making this a business rather than sort of just chasing another internet, what's the word, you know, shiny object, I guess, that results in nothing. Yeah. You're going to have to be business-like. You have to be thorough. So if you're going to actually get some training at all, you might as well get it that you come out of the other end of it really, truly competent, as opposed to just, you know, kind of messing about with it and losing a ton of money. I mean, as somebody said, if you think training is expensive, you should try ignorance. And actually, I've certainly found that with Amazon AdWords. I mean, I've spent the amount of money I spent before that I realized, you know, in the early days before I really looked at my numbers closely, was just frightening. And it adds up so fast. It's just not a joke. If you put on an auto campaign, a $5 bid, and then just leave it, like so many people do, you're handing checks to Amazon every minute. I tell you, if you think you know what's going on in your AdWords campaigns, just have another look. And when I say AdWords, I'm getting confused now, and I've been doing too much external traffic recently. Amazon ads, if you think you know what you're doing, go and look at your numbers and then come back and consider sponsoring the Products Academy is all I can say if you're in any way serious about this. I personally know that's the sort of input that I need these days. So I will spend the money on expensive training because ignorance costs me a lot more. So
yeah, anyway, well, I certainly agree. Yeah, I think that a number of other training programs have tried to do kind of like an add-on, and say, oh, well, you know, we're covering Amazon PPC, but I think that they're really they're kind of doing a disservice in some cases. And honestly, I haven't gone through them all, but in some cases, I think they're probably doing a disservice by not being thorough enough at it. The Sponsor Products Academy may, you know, be more thorough than what you need, but at the same time, you know, everybody that I talk to that, you know, we've got testimonials and interviews and that kind of stuff that we post up on the site, you know, actual people who implemented it and said, look, you know, this was a big investment for me. And I was skeptical as far as what it was going to come back with. But now that I know what I know, you know, having gone through the academy, now that I know what I know, I realize that no competitor is going to best me. You know, because I've got an advantage. I've got very strategic and tactical advantage just through the advertising. And again, we're talking both sponsor products as well as Amazon marketing services.
I think having an advantage in your media and advertising media specifically is often the competitive advantage you need to kill competition. So I think that's what people don't get. It's like if you can really master Google AdWords in the old days with your own blog, you will kill the competition because you can afford to spend a ton of money on it because you get a return on the investment if you know what you're doing. And I think it's exactly the same thing with Amazon ads, right? I mean, if you can really master it, like really, really master it when everyone else is bleeding money left, right, and center, you can kill them. It's kind of
simple as that, right? Yeah, because here's an example that we're kind of chuckling. We've got like a private, we call it like a VIP group, right? And that's basically students who have graduated from the academy that collaborate together, okay? And we're kind of joking in there about how, so in the training, this is actually where I talk about like here's how the ad auction, here's how the sponsor products algorithm and ad auction actually work. Seller support can't tell you because they don't know. This is not taught publicly, but here's how it actually works. And understanding how things are calculated in the algorithm and what impacts, you know, relevance and product and ad positions and everything, they can come back when a change like what happened last week, when it comes to, oh, Amazon has shrunk down their relevance, they're not indexing as many keywords in the back end, they're like, no problem. I know how the ad auction works, so I know how to get around this. I know what I need to do to adjust for it versus everybody else in all the groups and everything are like going, oh, you know, sky is falling. What do we do? My students are like going, oh, I just need to adjust this way because I understand how it functions. You know, having that kind of information is it gives you a strategic advantage among your competitive products.
Yeah, I think you've just put it in a nutshell. Really, I think understanding the fundamental principles of the platform you're operating on, as opposed to just copying the latest tactics, you just said it. That's how you win, really, isn't it? Because tactics die, but strategies and principles stay the same. So, Brian, I must let you get back to your sponsored Products Academy launch. I know it's a big push for you guys, but thank you so much for taking the time. Some really great insights as ever on an absolutely crucial topic. And I really hope that the audience appreciate just what the gold they're hearing here and go and implement things, you know, actually change what they're doing in their ads and their ad spend and their entire strategic approach. Like I said, amazingfba.com/BrianJ, B-R-I-A-N for November, J for James, or indeed for Johnson. And you can get the cheat sheet there. And it just remains for me to say, Brian, many, many thanks for your time and speak to you again, no doubt.
Awesome. My pleasure. Glad to be here. Thank you.
Hi, this is Michael Veazey from Amazing FBA. I've got a quick one for you. If you're super stoked and awesomely excited to sell on Amazon, that's great. But if you're American, I'm afraid you need to stop listening because this one is for the Brits only. I'm not being biased, but this is because I'm talking about something which is based in London. So you're going to need to be in Britain or near Britain to take advantage of it. The basic problem we have as internet entrepreneurs is we are lonely and isolated because we're tapping, sadly, at our tablets on our own. We're cooped up with our computers and we're going insane with the internet. We need to connect to other people. It's only a human thing, right? And relationships are the basis of all good business. So if you are in that situation, keep listening because we have a solution called the Amazing FBA London Mastermind. But I'm going to specifically talk to you if you're in that situation, but you are yet to launch on Amazon. So you want to launch on Amazon, you haven't got there yet. This is exactly for you. It's called the Zero to Hero Pre-Launch Mastermind. And our aim is very simple, to get you from research or importing, or even if you've got products on the way to Amazon, to launch with your first product live on Amazon. That's our goal. That's our focus. How do we achieve that? Very simple. We have a face-to-face meeting of up to 15 people, no more than that. So it's very, very focused. And you get 30 minutes minimum to talk about your business and focus on the single issue that's blocking you that month to move you forward. The other way we keep you accountable is that we have a video accountability call once a month as well, which it goes in between the physical meetups so that we keep that momentum going, because momentum's everything, guys. As you know, on your own, you just lose the dream and you fall into slowness and then the business just dies from neglect. So we do the opposite. We keep it moving. We keep each other motivated. We inspire and we tell the truth about what doesn't work so other people can learn from it. We also have a couple of other things. I give an exclusive newsletter available only to members of the Mastermind where I share the latest tips, techniques, and tricks and bigger strategies that I'm trying on my Amazon businesses and tell you what works and frankly what doesn't work as well so you can learn from my mistakes. And of course, there's an exclusive Facebook group to share all this good stuff with each other in between the meetings and the accountability calls. So there's a ton on offer here. It's obviously going to be very limited because it's maximum 15 people anyway, but for the first 5 people who come on board, there will be a special deal and a very special price for life. But that's obviously only for the first 5 people who come on board. So if you want to check it out, just go to amazingfba.com/London Mastermind and you can find out there more about it. You can apply there as well if you want to. And if you move fast, you might even be one of the lucky first 5 people to take advantage of it as well. So that's amazingfba.com/London Mastermind. I'm going to put this video out to everyone on my podcast and everyone in the Facebook group, of which we've got nearly 900 members now, and on the YouTube channel. So I imagine that this will fill quite quickly. So if you're serious about it, get yourself over to amazingfba.com/London Mastermind and you can find. Thanks for listening.